And last week we started talking about, where is your faith? Where is your faith at? We identified several levels of faith, and we tried to get the individuals to look at where their particular faith is at.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Layman's Bible Institute, author, and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. We thank you for joining us today for the first half of Where's Your Faith, Part 2. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the first half of Where's Your Faith, Part 2.
The message last week, and we had notes last week in all the bulletins. I think that there might be some extra in the back if you want to pick them up on your way out. Hebrews 11 and verse 6. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And last week we started talking about, where is your faith? Where is your faith at? We identified several levels of faith, and we tried to get the individuals to look at where their particular faith is at. So as we consider that this morning, I'm at the risk of boring those who were here last week. I ask that you would be patient with me as I repeat some of the points, but not all of the points. And one of the illustrations that I used last week, I think it bears repeating this week. So those of you who were here last week, please bear with me on it. And we were talking about the whole idea of making a faith personal. That Hebrews 11 verse 6 talks about making faith personal. That you've got to grab faith for yourself. But without faith, it is impossible to please God. You can't even get in this thing of trusting God. People say, well, I trust God. You can't even get in this whole concept, in this whole idea of trusting God, unless you have faith. Without faith, you can't trust God. He says right here, without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe first and foremost that God is. Amen. That God is. I was somewhere yesterday. I forget where I was at, but I think I was here at the church. And somebody came in, and they were talking to somebody on the way in. And they came in, and whoever this was, you know who it was. I forget who yesterday happened to somebody. They turned around, and they looked, and the person they were talking to wasn't even there. And the person said, you know, you must think I'm crazy walking in here talking to myself. And I said, well, you know, that's what people must think if they don't know God, if they don't understand how prayer works. They see you on your knees praying. They see you on your knees talking. But who in the world are you talking to? And the only thing that connects you from your knees to the Heavenly Father is faith. That you've got to believe that God is. You got to believe that he exists. You got to have faith and believe that when you get down on your knees and you pray and you talk, that there's somebody that's listening, that there's a God that you're connecting with. There was a man who was a tightrope walker in Paris, and as he would walk on the tightrope, he would do these incredible feats. He would go blindfolded and push a wheelbarrow across the tightrope. And there was a promoter in America, and this promoter said, well, you know what, I don't believe that he can do this in dangerous situations. So he challenged him. He said, I'll pay you a huge sum of money if you come and you walk across one of the most dangerous parts of Niagara Falls, blindfolded and pushing a wheelbarrow. And the guy said that he would come. He said he would do it. So the day came and the crowd gathered, and there was a lot of people. And so the man was walking across the tightrope, blindfolded, pushing the wheelbarrow. And the people held their breath. Oh, they didn't know if he was going to make it or not. And then all of a sudden he got to the other side, and the people just burst out in applause, and everybody began to shout. And he came down off the tightrope, went down to the promoter, and he said to the promoter, do you believe that I can walk across this tightrope blindfolded and pushing a wheelbarrow? He said, well, yeah, I believe. I just saw you do it. He said, no. Do you really believe that I can do it? And the man said, yeah, I believe. He said, well, I'm going to do it again, and this time you get in the wheelbarrow. And see, that's what faith is. Faith is you getting in the wheelbarrow. It's one thing to say that the man can do it. It's one thing to say that God can do it. But it's another thing for you to say, well, I'm getting in the wheelbarrow.
And so God is challenging us as a church. God is challenging you as an individual. Get in his wheelbarrow. Let him push you across the tightrope, blindfolded in a wheelbarrow. God, without faith, it is impossible to please God. Just by way of review, we identified several levels of faith last week. When Jesus was asleep on the boat and the disciples became fearful, they woke Jesus up and Jesus came and spoke peace to the storm and the storm was stilled. And Jesus told the disciples, how is it that you have no faith? No faith. You know, there are people that have no faith. No faith in general. And then even in a specific situation, you might say, well, you know, I can trust God, but, you know, I just really don't know if I can trust God in this area. Well, you know what? You have no faith. And so Jesus got, and the disciples, you know, they really must have had some faith because, you know, they believed in Jesus and they followed Jesus. So they had some faith. But in that particular situation, they had no faith. And Jesus identified them as having no faith. As we seek God's direction, as we seek God's blessing, as we seek God's power and guidance, as we leave this building and move across the street, you know, we need faith. We don't need folk with no faith. You know, I believe, you know, I'm just crazy enough to believe that if God said something, that he's able to do it. You know, I'm just foolish enough to believe that God could send us all the money next week that we could build a sanctuary and a fellowship hall. I believe that God can do that. You know, there's no doubt in my mind that God can't do that. I believe he can do it. And so we got to have faith. And you know, I believe sometimes God doesn't work because of the faith of the people. It said that Jesus couldn't do many mighty works there because of the faith of the people. Man, we need a faith. We need a people with a strong faith. We need a people with a great faith. I remember when we were moving from Virginia to here to Pittsburgh, and you know, my wife and I had gone out and looked at this house, and we looked at it, and we said that, man, the guy's just asking too much money for the house. And we completely forgot about the house. Started moving on. And the realtor called us back and said, hey, the guy was wondering if you're going to make an offer on the house. I said, well, the offer I'm going to make, I don't think that he's going to like it too much. He said, well, just make an offer. And so we made an offer, and he accepted it. He jumped right on it. And so the realtor was telling us that we needed about $4,000 to close. And I knew that I was going to get about $2,500 from closing on my house in Virginia. But I didn't know what other $15,000 was coming from. And I just said, well, you know, God, you're going to work it out. I don't know how it's going to happen, but you're going to work it out. We left, went down Virginia, loaded up all our stuff, was coming back. We closed down there, got our little check for $2,500. I'm coming back. I'm looking at my wife. She's looking at me. We know that we're going to be sitting next across from this realtor tomorrow, and we don't have $1,500. I just say, well, you know what? God got us this far. He's going to work it out. I don't know what he's going to do, but he's going to work it out. So we kept on with the procedure, got there, and before we got started, the realtor, I'm making a real long story short, the realtor came in and said, you know, we miscalculated the figures. You're only going to need $2,500 to close. I said, praise God. Praise God. See, that's what I'm talking about, faith. That if you believe that God is going to work it out. See, sometimes God puts you into a situation where you can't trust anybody but him. Sometimes he backs you up in the corner and God says, look, it's either going to trust me or you're going to trust something else. And some of us turn in another direction. Oh, to God that we would turn to him. Bethany, we're being backed up in the corner. We're being backed up in the corner. As you're going to see the presentation after the service today, we're being backed up. But we got to turn somewhere. We got to turn in some direction. And would to God that we as a church would turn to him and believe that he is able and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And I pray that as we come together, my prayer is in this situation, in this particular situation, that we would not have people on the boat when the storm arises, that Jesus would come and say to you, you have no faith. In that situation, the disciples had no faith. And I'm telling you, we need folk with some faith here. We don't need for God to stand up and say, look, you know, it's on no faith, no faith, no faith, no faith. We need people with faith. No faith. And then in Matthew chapter 6, and once again, I'm foregoing reading the scriptures and all the illustrations and jokes that I gave last week. I just gave one joke from last week. But over there where Jesus was challenging people on trusting God for provisions, and he said that, look at the birds, how they toil not, neither do they spin. Your Father takes care. Look at the flowers of the field, which today are, tomorrow are cast in the oven. And then he summarizes it by saying that when you have a difficult time trusting me for these things, he said, oh, you of little faith, little faith. Where are you? No faith, little faith. That you can halfway trust God for some things. That you've got a little bit of faith to be able to trust God, but you don't have that great faith or that strong faith. Oh, ye of little faith. And then the third faith that we talked about last week, and I love this right here, and you can write this down, or if you have the notes, you can refer to it later. But in 1 Thessalonians, notice I said 1 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 10, Paul says to the people, he says, night and day we pray exceedingly that we may see your face and might perfect that which is, listen to this, which is lacking in your faith. What was Paul's prayer? Paul prayed for the people at Thessalonica that the Lord would perfect whatever it was that was lacking in their faith. Whatever area they struggled with trusting God, whatever area they had a difficult time exercising faith, Paul said, wherever you are lacking in your faith, I'm praying for you. And then he writes, after 1 Thessalonians, he writes 2 Thessalonians. And in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 3, he says this, we are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet. Listen to this. Because your faith grows exceedingly. He prayed for their faith, that whatever was lacking, he prayed that God would make it up. Then he writes another letter back to him and says that I thank God that your faith is growing. No faith? Little faith? How about you? Do you have a growing faith? Oh, would to God that we had a growing faith, that our faith is a little bit further along this year than it was last year. That you know what? If we weren't dealing with this situation right now, what would we do? I mean, ministry would continue on. People would still be able to serve God and exercise their gifts. All that would still happen. But look at what God is doing. God is saying, look, and I was sharing with the people yesterday at the leadership meeting that I remember when there was nothing across the street. There was absolutely nothing across the street. And the saints would come out and they would walk around that area and just pray and just pray. And now you look over there, and there's a gym, classrooms, offices. Oh, that's, but that was nothing at one point. Some saints saw something there. They saw something over there. And so God got us through that. You know what? Now we've got to increase our faith a little bit more. You can't live on last year's faith. You can't live on faith in the past. Man, you've got to trust God for some fresh ideas, some fresh movement, a fresh movement. You got to trust God because he's doing something new, because he's working the situation out. And God put you in a place because he said, yeah, that faith was great back then when you trusted me for the Bethany Center. But now we're moving out. Now we're stepping out. Now we're moving ahead. And you know what? That faith back then was good. And you can look at that faith as an example, as a motivation, as something to help you. But where we're going now, you need a new faith. You need an increasing faith. God is saying that we need to increase our faith, an increasing faith. How about in your personal life? Sometimes we get so caught up and dependent upon the world system that we are so tied into the system of the world that we are missing out this whole idea and this whole concept of having to reach out and trust God and to hold on to his unchanging hand. We're missing out on that. Oh, would to God that he would put us in our own individual lives where we have to look back and we have to say, God, unless you do something, God, unless you work, God, unless you intercede, this thing is not going to happen. This is not going to work. And what is God doing? God is at that point, he is increasing your faith, increasing faith. No faith, little faith, increasing faith. Then we talked about great faith. And we gave the illustration of the lady who asked Jesus if he would come heal her daughter. And Jesus told her, he said, how can I give the meat to the dogs? That the meat is for the children. Which is sound, man, that's kind of hard. That's kind of hard what Jesus said. Wow, Jesus, that was deep. This lady coming to you asking you to do, as a matter of fact, the scripture says when she first asked him that Jesus didn't even answer. He just kept going. And it said she kept crying. And she, you can read in the notes, we talked about her persistence and things of that nature. But she kept crying to Jesus. And the disciples said, look, let's dismiss her and just send her away. And Jesus said, no, we can't do that. And so he dealt with her issue. And he said, I can't give the, you know, it's not fit to give the meat, you know, for the children to the dogs. She said, oh, Lord, but even the dogs desire the crumbs that fall from the table. You know, and you know what? Some people might be trusting God, you know, for the meat. And they might say, you know, we want the meat. You know, we want the $10 million edifice. That's the, you know, that's the meat. You know, some people say, well, look, you know, God, we just need a crumb. We just need you to drop a crumb. We're just trying to get a fellowship hall, God. Yeah. We just need a crumb, God. Yo, yeah, if you bless us with some meat, if you drop some T-bones or some round eyes out of the sky, we'll eat them to the glory of God. But God, if you just give us a crumb of Wonder Bread, we'll take that, Lord, and we'll build on that. All we need is a crumb. You know, and Jesus told the lady, he said, I've not seen so great faith, not even in Israel. A great faith. No faith, little faith, increasing faith, great faith. Let me conclude this morning with the life of Abraham. So turn to Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4. And now we're going to look at strong faith. Strong faith. And it says in verse 18 of Romans, talking about Abraham, who against hope believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able to perform. Abraham was strong in faith. And the first thing we see that Abraham believed in hope when there was no hope. He says here, who against hope believed in hope. It was just like me, just like Pastor Glaze. Last Sunday night, the second half of the Steelers game, I believed in hope. I had hope. Against hope. I was telling somebody, I said, man, you know what? I still, in that second half, when they went down there and drove the ball down and scored, I said, you know what, man? I knew that they were going. I knew they were going to come back. And the person I was talking to, come on, man, why don't you get real? Why don't you get real? They was beat from the very beginning. I said, man, but I had hope against hope. And Abraham, when there was no reason to hope, when there was no, the man was beyond seed production, reproduction. His wife's womb was dead. Wasn't, excuse my English, wasn't nothing happening there. And against all hope, he had hope. In the middle of a devastating situation, even in the fourth quarter, man, they can still do it, man. Come on, Big Ben, you can, oh, yeah. You got to have hope. Against hope, if you want a strong faith brings you down to the reality when all hope is gone that you still believe that something is going to work out. Against hope. I heard the story about these two individuals, Jed and Sam, and they saw this sign that said there was a great reward if somebody would bring back 1,000 wolves alive. And they were bounty hunters, and they said, oh, we can do that. And so they, you know, went day after day. And they thought of the great reward that they would get for bringing these 1,000 wolves. And they searched day and night without any success. And finally, after a couple days, it got a little cold. It was about evening. And they decided that they were going to lay down and take a rest and get back up the next day and continue to go look for the wolves so they could find these 1,000 wolves and collect this money and be rich. And they both fell asleep. And Jed woke up. And when he woke up, there were 100 wolves standing around him, eyes peering at him, teeth snarling. looking like they were getting ready to devour the both of them. And Jed said, Sam, wake up. We're rich. See, you got to have hope. You got to have hope against hope. When there's no hope, you still got to have hope. That brother had a lot of hope. In the midst of a dire situation, in the midst of a drastic circumstances, man, you still got to keep on believing. You got to still believe that God is able and that God can do it. I'm going to tell you what, I've seen it happen too many times in my life. Man, me and my wife could sit down and tell you story after story how God miraculously provided when there was no hope. Man, I tell you what, I got some testimony. I got some stories of how God made a way out of no way. I remember when Jonathan was born, and I was getting ready to graduate from seminary, and my wife had spent all this time. We almost got divorced about three times because she was typing my thesis, and guess what? We didn't have a we didn't have a computer, so you know when you had to go back and retype the whole page. And I remember when the day that I was graduating, and Jonathan was due to be born, and my wife went into labor that morning. Man, she was in labor, and she said to herself, "You know, I'd have been through this Negro through all this. I'm gonna walk him walk across that stage." And she saw me graduate, and that afternoon, that evening, she went to the hospital, and delivered our child. But you know, just the faith that she had, that, you know, to stick with me through all that, and then, you know, to see me graduate. Man, I tell you what, you know, just you know, in the midst of situations when it seems like there's no hope, you know, you got to keep on having hope, and you got to keep on believing that God is able. Look at this. Abraham, it says, look at verse 19. It says, who being not weak in faith. Not weak in faith. He wasn't weak in faith. That he believed that God was able. And you know, when you're not weak in faith, that means that you are putting your faith in God. You're not putting your faith in yourself. You know, he was not, the next point says that he was not discouraged by his own limitations. He was not weak in faith. And see, faith, you know, when you have faith, you know, you got to grab that thing. You know, you got to embrace it and believe that God is able. Now, I've got a calculator. Now, I believe that this calculator can add 5 plus 5. I believe that. Bam! Blank screen. But I still believe, that calculator can add 5 plus 5. Blank screen. I believe this calculator can add 5 plus 5. There you go. 10. See, it didn't function until I acted upon it. It didn't function until I acted upon it. Saints, you know, Joshua, God said, look, I'm going to take you across the Jordan River. He said, now, this was the flood stage. I don't know if you've ever seen flood waters. I remember one time, the place where I worked at was on an island, and the river flooded. And I remember going and just seeing that flood just washing. Man, big barrels just floating down the stream, big trees going down the stream. I mean, it was intimidating to sit there and watch.
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the conclusion of Where's Your Faith? Part 2. If you would like to request an audio copy or the notes of today's message, Where's Your Faith? Part 2, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request Where's Your Faith? Part 2. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request Where's Your Faith? Part 2. Or call us at 877-831-5060. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Glaze. Dr. Glaze is the author of 7 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877 831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. Now, for Dr. Glaze and our entire volunteer staff, I'm your host, Sonia Hall, reminding you, you don't have to be tossed into storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.